8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Talk to Me here on Knotfest.com. As always, I am Joshua Toomey, and joining me this week on the podcast is Joe Catella from the band Dead. Joe is a friend of the show, friend of the podcast, and great to have him back. This interview was from his Knotfest Twitch stream that he did with me over on Throwback Throwdown with Toomey. This episode was a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. And make sure you are checking me out on Knotfest Twitch. That is twitch.tv/KnotfestOfficial. Each Thursday night, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Join in on the conversation. Join in on the chat. Ask some questions that you would like to be answered by the guests we have. And if you are listening to this on post day, we have Scooter and Lindsay of Cold coming on the show. And also Sean Glass of Repentance, formerly of Soil, on the show tonight. So come hang out with me, twitch.tv/KnotfestOfficial. Always free to check it out, always free to comment, always free to ask some questions. Joe joins the show to talk about Kill Beautiful Things and everything going on with the band Dead. They have an upcoming tour with In This Moment and Black Veil Brides. That's going to be a lot of fun. Definitely have to check that out. It is still up in the air if I'm going to be heading out to Knotfest, Iowa, so we do not know if I will be there or not with COVID and all the other protocols in place, but I will be at Louder Than Life in Louisville, so if you're coming out to Louder Than Life, let me know. Hit me up on Facebook, and we can get together and say hello. And as always, guys, make sure you are rating, reviewing, and subscribing to the Talk to Me podcast, letting your friends know that you are checking out the show. And so without any more of my ramblings, let's check out Kill Beautiful Things by Dead. Let's talk to Joe Catella. And then I will talk to you guys momentarily. Video is now on your screen. Let's welcome Joe Catella from Dead to Throwback Throwdown with Toomey here, Knotfest Twitch. How we doing, man?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Thanks for having me on, bro.
How have you been?
I've been pretty good. I've been pretty good. Getting kind of back into the swing of things. Traveling a bunch. I just got back to New York. I was in Miami and Arizona doing a bunch of stuff, and you know, stoked to release some new music and everything. It's exciting, man.
Nice, man. Where are you keeping your home these days? Are you Arizona still? Or are you, where are you at?
Back and forth, but mainly in upstate New York.
Yeah. Nice, nice.
Yeah.
We just listened to Kill Beautiful Things, man. Tell me a little bit about that song and maybe a little bit about recording that video.
Yeah, man. Well, the song is cool. The song was the first song that we wrote with our new guitar player, actually, which is awesome. You know, just sent that one in, and I just thought it was such a cool lick, and just kind of came real organically and whatnot. And it's cool, man. It's just like a different vibe for what people know of Dead, I think, which is exciting for me. You know that as an artist, it's cool to like mix it up and like, you know, show your different sides and stuff like that. And the video we shot during the pandemic, you know what I mean? So it was like, that's why the guys aren't in it. You know,
right.
no like rock star ego shit on that.
Hey, so, man, we've all seen that No Doubt video. We know what you're up
to. Right. But yeah, so we just couldn't be together when we shot that, which was, you know, a little time ago now. And just try to go outside the box. Like I was saying, it's like the song was a little different. I think it was cool to make the video a little bit different as well. And so we did it like sped up, like super fast. And then, you know, you slow it down and
right.
get that epic kind of slow motion effect. And then, you know, we had the burn the forest down and all that shit. So it's cool, man. It ended up being really cool, and it ended up having such a good positive spin on it. It went through a lot of different phases when we were working on it. First, we were talking about like Beastie Boys, What You Want, and we were talking about a handful of other ones, you know what I mean? This is kind of where we ended up. So yeah, I'm very happy with it, and I'm stoked that it's out.
So how has writing music with Alex been, obviously, since David has not been there?
Right. It's been really good. It's been really good, man. So he wrote this kind of still when David was still in the band when we were recording. It just, you know, we just have like Alex was like our merch guy and just like our boy, and him and our bass player Kyle wrote this one together, and they turned this one in, and we wrote this one. So but then since then, where we've been in the pandemic, he's been turning in so much dope shit, and I've been writing over it. So we got a bunch more music, you know, like everybody else. We got a bunch of stuff stockpiled now. And it's cool. It's tasty.
Right. Are we going singles with this for a while? Are we going to put out an album? What are we looking at?
Yeah, the album. I'm hearing should be in October.
Okay.
So not too far away, and we should be releasing the art and the track listing and all that stuff like very soon, like as soon as we can. You know what I mean? So I'm excited.
So I know the In This Moment Black Veil Brides tour was supposed to happen a while back, then pandemic happens, and then now it's rescheduled and everything else. But
right.
You know, you guys were kind of on a trajectory, and here we are, you know, a year later where everything's kind of having to start back up. How has the last year been for you, for the band, and just, you know, personally, things like that?
You know, a lot of ups and downs. And it's exciting the tour's happening, even though we're having all of this, you know, there's a lot of different variables nowadays with touring. So we're going to brave the storm and see how that goes. You know what I mean? But I'm so excited to do it. And, you know, it was frustrating, just like for everybody else. It was frustrating to not be able to do, live your purpose and play music like you've just done your whole life. And you kind of, I don't know if we took it for granted or not, but, you know, it was something that was always there. And a lot of us musicians, we've poured years, you know, decades, you know, into music. And then all of a sudden that was like, nah, you can't do that. You know what I mean? And so it was crazy.
Take some time off.
It was crazy for us. You know, it's like you can't go to work. You can't express yourself the way you express yourself. You know what I mean? You can't have that community of people around you. So I know a lot of other people had it worse in a lot of ways. But, you know, for my instance, it was difficult. But at the same time, you know, there's always a positive to a negative. We're usually a positive to a negative. And so I got to spend a lot of time with family. Got to spend a lot of time with Maria. We got to do a lot of, you know, a lot of cooking, a lot of hanging out, a lot of chilling, you know what I mean? And we hadn't done that, you know. I've been touring for about 3.5 years straight, you know, and she's always on tour too. So really to like have that time together was really huge, and not, you know, not flying to meet each other in some random place or whatever it is, you know what I mean? We're home So that was really nice.
Did that kind of solidify you guys as a couple? I mean, obviously, being two singers and two bands always on the road,
Right.
You know, you're going to have to fly here. She's going to have to fly there. And then obviously getting a year to spend together, a year and a half to spend together, unheard of in this world. So it had to work out for you guys.
It was. No, it was killer. And, you know, we always figured out, you know, it was solidified before that for sure. Yeah. But, you know, we always figured out, like, if I'm not on tour, I'll go out and just roll out with her, you know, and be on tour with her and kick it. Or, you know, like she came on Shiprock with me, you know, stuff like that. We always mix it up and we figure it out. You know what I mean? It's all good.
So I was thinking back to the first time I interviewed you at Louder Than Life years and years ago. And, you know, dead at that point, upstart, new band. And, you know, over the years, you know, you guys have grown. How have you personally grown over those years, you know, from the first album to now?
Man, I mean, a lot. You know, especially pandemic included, such a huge step back, you know, with that, you know, and I feel like it put things into perspective, what's important and what's not, for sure. It brought me, you know, it just made me stop and smell the roses a bit. It made me appreciate my family and my friends a lot, and it made me realize what I want in my life and what I don't. So that's just that, you know, that last year was such a big thing. But before that, all the traveling, you know, meeting bands, watching bands, meeting new people, trying to soak up things with, you know, our producer that we recorded with, Kevin Chirko and Kane, stuff like that. I mean, there's just, when you're out there experiencing, I mean, really what we are is just, we are experiencers. I mean, that's really what we are. We're just these things with these senses, we experience everything, you know, and so we're always soaking up new things. And so I've always felt that, like, every 3 or 4 years, I feel like I grow. Like, I feel like there's a moment where I'm like, okay, cool, I'm in a new place now. That's happened since, you know, since I can remember, actually. So since that first album, you know, came out July 2017, it's been 4 years, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I would say I'm about at that point where that happened, you know. And so, you know, you get into different things. I mean, whatever it is. But I'm in a good place, you know. I feel really good. I feel stoked on life. I feel stoked on, you know, just positivity and doing my thing, you know.
Mr. Bargains in the chat room says, is there a band you would still like to perform with?
Oh yeah, there's a bunch. We played a lot of festivals with a lot of bands, so I don't know if that counts as playing, right, performing with bands, you know what I mean? But Deftones is one that we have not been associated with in any way, really, and they're for sure one of those ones. I love Turnstile as well. I'd love to do some stuff with them in some capacity. I mean, there's a lot. I love a lot of music. I really like Three Teeth too. I'm into those guys a lot, and I love my boys, the Dropout Kings too. We got to figure out something to get together and do some music.
Absolutely. Kind of going back to the, you know, your early days in Arizona, kind of slugging it out in the music scene. As you've seen how the music business works, is it what you thought it was going to be? Is it different than what you thought it was going to be? Do you feel like you're like, oh, well, this is it. Okay, I get it now. Or you know, does that question make sense?
Yeah, it makes. Well, I'll answer it to the way that I interpreted it.
Okay.
I mean, I think it makes sense. You know, it's funny when I was a kid or whatever, when I was growing up, and I know a lot of my musician friends have kind of agreed. You kind of, like, in the beginning, you're like, oh, if I could just get a record deal, if I could just go on tour, if I could just do this, then I, you know, everything will be great. I'll be happy. I could die after that. You know what I mean? Whatever. You know, you just want it so badly. But there's always new problems with new things, right? And you learn that as you go. And so, like, that kind of cliche statement, it's about the journey, it's not about the destination, is so true, right? Especially as an artist, as a musician. So there's, you know, there's amazing things and there's frustrating things. So really the point is to just, you know, at the moment, be happy now, enjoy what you're doing right now, enjoy the struggle if you're in the struggle, you know what I mean? Enjoy the glory if you're in the glory, you know what I mean? And my dad always just says, never get too high and never get too low. And I think that's always a huge thing to do as an artist, because we can be so critical on ourselves, you know what I mean? And then we can also pat ourselves in the back too much sometimes, you know what I mean? So it's good to keep it chill and to just know that, you know, on the way to the top, you know, you got to be cool, because you're going to see the same people on the way back down, you know what I mean? And I know I'm still trying to work up that ladder. I'm still trying to go up to the top, but Just always trying to keep it humble, you know what I mean? I think that's a good way to be.
Talk to me about, obviously you guys worked with Fred Durst early on video-wise, and then kind of seeing him now, kind of having that resurgence and the dad vibes kind of thing, man. It's kind of fun to see him back out there. And people are like, oh yeah, I've always loved Limp Bizkit. And you're like, no, you never told anybody.
Right. Love Fred. Love the dad vibes song. I've heard some of the other ones too, and dude, their new stuff is so sick. Shout out to the whole crew. I've loved Limp Bizkit. Yeah. Cause it was like a bad word for like maybe like 10 years. Right. Like, it was like you weren't supposed to like, and now it's cool to like them again. And that's okay. You know, I feel like that happens, you know, with things like people follow the trends, they, you know, and I get it, you know? But I was a fan. I met so many friends. I remember meeting one of my longest time friends and, you know, wearing a Limp Bizkit shirt, you know, that whole thing when you're wearing a band shirt, they're wearing a band shirt. You guys like, oh, okay. We like each other. What's such a cool thing too. You know what I mean? To just be like, okay, we understand each other on some level just from that. You know what I mean? And I would go to, you know, I definitely went to some Limp Bizkit shows and I'm stoked that they're back because I think they're just such a killer band, man. And I love Wes's riffs. I love the whole thing. The rhythm section's one of the best. And I'm excited for them to be back, man, for sure.
And obviously you guys kind of came out the gate touring a lot with Korn. What did you learn from those guys?
I don't know what I learned from Korn. I mean, that was such a sick tour and that was so amazing of them and they were so good to us. I guess when I think about it, they keep it real family oriented. They keep it real, real chill. They don't seem like they're too cool for anybody, man. And I think that's been their vibe the whole time, you know? Not that I needed to learn that. I feel like that's instilled in me anyway, but it's cool to see that when you're out around such an iconic, huge, influential band that they're cool and that they're legit. You know, it makes you like them even more, you know what I mean? Even more than I could have, because they were like, you know, growing up, I had a whole wall in my room. It was Korn cutouts and guitar magazines. You know, the whole wall was, one was designated to Korn, and then, you know, everybody else is mixed in NOFX and Rage Against the Machine and stuff, whatever.
Yeah, I think that was Metallica on my walls back in the day.
Hell yeah.
Very similar to what's going on in the background now. I still haven't grown up.
Right. I love it.
You know, kind of going back to your childhood, things like that, when was the moment you wanted to be a singer? When was the moment you wanted to participate in this thing called music?
Well, my mom says that I used to run around when I was real little singing Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen.
Nice.
So I don't remember that. Man, I think it was around when I got a guitar. It was called a Terminator guitar, and it had a amplifier on the body of it.
Oh,
it was
nice.
Real crappy, you know.
Oh,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like battery operated, but it had distortion. And I think I got the guitar because I just wanted, you know, like Nirvana was like a big thing for me, you know. And so when I first started, it was, you know, it was like just learned, you know, power chords and all that stuff and started singing and stuff. And then I started probably my first little band, maybe in like, I was like 12 or 13. And, you know, it went from there. I just loved creating with people. You know, we were in Arizona in the garage. It was hot. We were just playing, like I was saying, Nirvana, a lot of punk stuff, a lot of Green Day, Slapstick and, you know, in that kind of realm of things, like whatever. We like skate punk a lot too, Social Distortion and all kinds of things. And then it just kind of kept going from there. I loved writing songs. I remember I was way into basketball too. I'd be playing basketball by myself and I would just be singing songs or like creating songs in my mind in like the vein of Soundgarden too. So it was almost like I was writing Soundgarden songs in my mind that didn't exist, which is something that I vaguely remember. I've just always loved being creative. I drew a lot, you know. I liked making things. My mom's very artistic. I think I get it from her, you know, that kind of thing. And, once I started playing shows and I loved the community, I loved being around people that loved music as much as me. And I loved, the energy of shows. I loved mosh pits, you know, all that stuff. And
nice.
You just want to break stuff, you know, that kind of thing.
Rock and Roll in the chat room says, I had that guitar too. I'd walk down the street jamming.
Amazing. Oh, that's amazing. I gotta like go look that up and like just see a picture of it or something. I wonder if I have an old picture. Maybe my parents have something, but that's awesome that you had that. Oh yeah.
Did you ever think you would live in a time where the baby on the cover of Nirvana's Nevermind would be suing Nirvana for child pornography?
Wait, so okay. So what I was reading it, is that what it was? Was the Nirvana one or was it the Korn one? Was it
no, the, it's the Nirvana one. One. Yeah, the Korn one's a joke. One. Yeah, the
Korn one was a joke. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. I didn't know. Because I saw like a million other ones like, you know, the girl from the Motionless cover said she was mad that they made her dye her hair black or something.
Right, this yeah, yeah.
Nothing,
yeah.
You know. With the way things are now, I'm not surprised with, right. with that, honestly. You know. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. You know, I respect people, you know, and I want everybody to feel good, but I don't know, man. Like that seems like it's a little late. You know, again, I haven't read about it. I'm not yeah. like super, you know, in the know, obviously. I didn't even know which one was real. So, I would say it's a little late. You know, and I would say that's, you know, it's such an iconic piece of art that you're a part of, you know what I mean? Like, man, it's, to me, that would be an honor, but you know, I'm not the person, so you know, I can't say how they feel. But you know, I don't know, man. Things have gotten real sensitive, and I'm okay with, you know, I'm a very empathetic person. I consider myself an empath, honestly, but I do feel like there are times where things, you know, where I don't get things. You know what I mean? So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that.
How do you feel about it? Like, what do
well,
you?
Well, I mean, I've read up enough on it to know he's recreated the cover, I think, 5 times over the years as
right.
as tributes and things like that. He's coming out now saying that it's been traumatizing his entire life, that people have been seeing him in that way, and he's had to deal with, you know, girls hooking up with him and then realizing he doesn't have any money because they thought they had money. So it's very, very hard on him. And
okay.
I wish he would come at it and just say, hey, I read where his parents got $200 for that photo shoot. That's it. You know,
okay.
no points on the record kind of thing.
Right.
And he's been bummed out. He's, you know, he sees how many, you know, they say that things sold like 30 million copies worldwide. Everybody else involved with it has a ton of money. Why doesn't he? Which that makes a little bit more sense, but I would rather it come out and just say, hey, why don't you kick me back $1 million because I've been on this iconic record for 30 years.
Right.
Rather than saying it's child pornography.
Right. Yeah. That's again, that feels like a stretch to me. I don't feel like, you know, seeing it that I ever thought about it that way. You know,
right.
I doubt anybody else. I've never heard anybody else say that either, you know? So, yeah, like, well, what you're saying, his track record sounds like he's kind of interested in putting himself in the limelight. You know what
yeah.
I mean? That's what it sounds like to me. And sometimes, you know, if his parents made a bad deal or you make a bad deal in the music industry.
Yeah.
You get fucked kind of sometimes, man. I mean, I, you know, it's happened to me. You know what I mean? Not in the same exact way, but you know what I mean?
I think that the girl that's on the cover of Around the Fur, I don't think she ever got anything for that. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I read about that too as well. Yeah. And again, I think it's just, you know, it's an artistic thing. And at the time, like when that happens, I think you have to jump on it and lock it in. You have to get your... Yeah, you got to get your lawyer involved and you got to set up your situation or
yeah.
else this stuff like that can happen. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, even you kind of deal with that too. If a photographer comes out to your show and photographs you, you don't own that photo, but it's you. So the photographer owns the photo. He can make money off that photo, but technically you would have to pay, you know, you would have to pay him money to use a photo of yourself. It's a very bizarre world out there with photography.
Yeah, no, it is. And I know, I know that happens, and I guess I'm just not at a place where I'm super worried about it right now.
Yeah.
But I do know what you're saying, and maybe someday it will bother me, and then maybe I'll be in the same scenario where I'll have to have a problem with it. But I mean, it is what it is for right now. You know what I mean? So I don't know. That's something that I see people run into sometimes, and it's just a weird thing. You know, I don't know. You know, with the internet and everything now, it's the Wild West.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that is my side hustle. If you want to go to joecatellaprince.com, I do have a lot of photos of you for sale. So
that's the one thing that I don't like is when people roll up before your show and they pretend like they're fans for you to sign, like, and then they have like 30 things for you to sign.
Right.
And you're like, yo, you know what I mean? Like, there's there's usually little bells that go off for certain things, but you know, I love the most of the photographers, I'd like to think, and I've talked to a lot of them, you know, they're fans of music and they're fans of photography, and you know, it's a whole, you know, it's something that works together. So
Marissa in the chat room says, let's start suing people for their future offenses as well.
Seriously,
man. Oh man, what a crazy world we live in, man.
Seriously, bro.
So the tour with In This Moment and Black Veil Brides has been rescheduled. Looks like you're coming through here around Halloween. So yeah. I mean, how excited are you to get back out to a crowd, and how long has it been since you played in front of a crowd?
The last time we played in front of a crowd was we did one show up in Spokane, Washington. That was the last show that we played. But before that, we did Shiprocked, and we got back just in time when they started all shutting down all the cruise ships and stuff like that. So we were very fortunate in that sense, because we could have spent months out there or whatever, however that turned out. So it's been a long time. Yeah, I guess it's been a year and a half. I accidentally randomly walked into like an AC/DC cover band playing when I was in Arizona, which was fun. That was the first live music I had kind of seen in a while, which was fun, you know, a little AC/DC. So yeah, it's been a long time. I can't wait. Like, I can't wait to get that feeling back. We've been rehearsing and stuff, and sometimes when you're rehearsing, you can feel it, you know, you kind of put yourself like you're at the show, you know. I try to practice like that sometimes, and I can almost feel it, I can almost taste it, and I can't wait to do it. And I'm so happy for so many of our friends that are touring again, and you know, I can see how elated they are. So I can't wait to be posting my excited. I'm so excited I'm back post, you know, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I had Scott Ian Lewis of Carnifex on recently, and he was talking about their latest tour. He said they played some of the same venues they always play, but they had the most tickets they've ever sold the most merch they've ever sold. Like he said, pit bosses were coming up to him crying after the show saying how much they needed it. So I can't wait to get back out to some venues and crowds.
Yeah, 100%, man.
We recently did a podcast convention in Nashville, and there was a lot of people all packed in there. I didn't feel nervous at all. It was pretty, but it was also very odd to be around people again.
Yeah. Okay. Was it? Yeah. It was a lot of people around. It was like a crowd. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I haven't been in that scenario yet. Yeah. It feels weird. Even when I was watching like Lollapalooza, I watched on Hulu, I was like, just to see all the people together, you know, was kind of interesting. You know what I mean? Were you like sketched out by it, or was it cool? It felt good.
I enjoyed being around everybody, and you know, there was enough room if you wanted to go away from people, you could, but I don't think there were people there early in the day that had the mask on and they were kind of freaked out about people. And then by the end of the night, they had their mask off hugging everybody, you know, so it was fun to people watch during all that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, people watching has been fun for a long time, but now there's a whole new part of it. So
yeah, even with sports and everything else, you're seeing the, like, you know, an entire year of sports with no crowds was bizarre. And then Stanley Cup playoffs, there started to be crowds and some of these preseason football games. And it's different with people, man.
It is. Yeah. And I think by the time the Super Bowl rolled around, they had opened up to like maybe 10, like a super small capacity, like 10,000 people were there or something like that. You know, like, you started to see people in the crowd. So it's cool to see it slowly come back. You know what I mean? And I hear that they didn't have any problems. Again, I'm just referring to Lollapalooza. I hear they didn't have any problems with like super spreader type stuff with everybody being there and that kind of thing. So that's really reassuring. You know, it's really good. I want everybody to be safe, but I want to go back to work, do my thing.
Not that I'm laughing at that. C-Spoon13 in the chat said that I think I would have preferred watching UFC fights without a crowd, honestly. And that made me think of, there was a UFC fighter that was fighting, and he could hear the commentators like commentate. What they were saying in the commentary, he changed his style up and won.
Oh.
Like he heard them saying what he should do, and he did that and won the fight.
That's a really cool, that's something that like has probably never happened in the, you know,
and, you know, probably will never happen again.
Yeah. It'll never happen again now. Yeah. That's like when the football player, the coaches are holding the stuff in front of their mouth and, you know, and whatever. I wonder if they can hear the commentators, if they have someone listening to that or not. That's an interesting thing. Cause you get that perspective and you're like, oh yeah, he's right. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to just whatever, switch. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's, if you're like on the, you know, grappling on the ground and he's like, man, if he just moves his hand to this back, he's got this fight. And he's like, all right, I'll do that.
Right. He did that. And then he took it. That's amazing. Amazing. The other guy got cheated a little bit.
So when will you guys get together? Are you guys going to do some tour rehearsals? Are you going to have to do the whole everybody has a negative test and all that stuff, getting ready for a tour? Or how are you guys going to handle that?
Yeah, no, I just got back from rehearsals. We were just rehearsing, getting the set ready, getting everything, you know, doing all the things that you do. And it felt really good. It felt really good to be playing music with the guys again. And I feel strong. And it's cool to have like not just one album now. We had just one album the whole time. So now we got a couple albums. We can make it, you know, mix it up with the set list of new songs and older songs. It feels really good. It feels like, it just feels, you know, something you haven't done in a long time. Get in a room and make noise together and stuff. It's been really cool. And everybody's safe. Everybody's vaccinated. So it, yeah, it's cool. Because, you know, and they implemented that with AEG and Live Nation too. So, I mean, it's part of it. And I think it's, you know, it's good to keep everybody safe.
While on tour, are you guys going to be able to interact with the fans after the show, or is it straight bus, stage, bus, you know, that type thing?
Yeah, we're going to get bubble boy suits and walk around and give people knuckles. Which actually, who knows, maybe I'll do that for fun, but we're going to have to keep things tight as far as I'm hearing. You know how it is with this whole thing. News changes every day, it feels like. So for right now, we're going to try to go on the safe side as far as what I'm hearing. You know what I'm saying? And we're not the headliner or whatever. We're following suit with the tour. You know, everybody just wants to be safe and play shows and, you know, not spread, not hurt anybody. You know, that's the whole thing. So we're going to just try to follow the guidelines the best we can. If we find we can do, you know, interactive stuff, then we will. I mean, you know, when we know it's like cool and it's safe and it's not going to hurt anybody, then we will, you know. But it's so new, you know what I mean? And I'm going to hit up some friends too, some of the other bands that are out touring, and just see what's happening with them, what's working with them, and maybe get some good ideas, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you definitely hate to be the one that kind of derails a tour.
I do not want to be the guy that walks in and says, hey, I just gave everybody COVID. Everybody can't play show for 2 weeks now and right. Mess up everybody's everything, you know? Yeah.
I signed an autograph last night at the Waffle House, and now everybody has COVID, so.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's going to be hard. I'm innately like very much like I want to say hello to people. And if someone reaches their hand out, you know, when someone reaches, you just automatically do it because right. You've done it your whole life, you know? So, it's going to take a little bit of training. But I think we'll do a good job. And, you just have to remember the severity of the consequences if you do mess up, you know what I mean? If you do end up being the unlucky person that gets something, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. So, see what happens, you know.
Obviously visuals have kind of always been a part of Dead, even back to the Contacts and everything back in the early days of there's always something visual about the band. How has that changed being with Maria, being around in this moment? Obviously they are a super visual band, dancers and costume changes and everything else. How has that affected the way you wanted to perform?
Well, when Dead started, we actually were very much like that as well. We all wore these kind of black straight jackets, and we wore the, you know, we had our contacts and stuff like that, the white contacts that we did for the whole first album cycle. So we were very much kind of doing that in the same way. I don't see myself, you know, I'm not like gonna get dancers or anything like that anytime soon. You know, it definitely works for her in an amazing way. Of course, she's just amazing with visual stuff. She just all the time. She's just so like, she's very gifted, in that sense. You know, I've been a fan of kind of eras, you know what I mean? So like we did the first album and everything, and we were the way we were. And then, you know, for our Mannequin Idol video, and in that little touring time, I did something then, and I kind of had like a bit of a Viking thing. I had the paint, the face paint and stuff. And I don't know. I like the idea of having different time periods where I'm doing different things. I think a lot of bands that, and artists that I look up to have done things like that. So I do like not just walking out in a pair of, you know, shorts and flip-flops or something silly like that. You know what I mean? Like, okay. I like to get into a vibe, and I feel like it really puts you in the song, into the music, when you are dressed a certain way, thinking a certain way. You know what I mean? You look kind of sick, you feel kind of sick, and it goes into the music. So I am a big fan of that. I was against that when I was younger for some reason. But
I was going to ask really, that, because you grew up on the punk rock, and you know, yeah, that would be very frowned upon in a punk rock era.
Correct. And I really was against it. And then as I, you know, as we were doing Dead, and really when we started doing Dead, we did it more for fun. And we weren't worried about anybody, like, you know, we weren't worried about it being successful. We just did it for fun. And we did it, and we looked at each other, and we're like, yo, this looks pretty sick. This looks pretty dope. And so we were into it. I've embraced it since then. You know what I mean? But I don't always do it. You know, I'm not always like for this, I'm not going to like put on a bunch of stuff and whatever, you know, on stage. I think there is a lot that can come to a show with that. It's very, it adds so much, you know, and I've seen that with whoever I've seen. I mean, you know, whether it be Rammstein or Alice Cooper or In This Moment or whoever it is, you know, huge White Zombie fan my whole life.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I do it in a way that feels comfortable for me, that I feel like empowers me, and brings something out of me that matches with the music.
Just got to shout out Pims91 for gifting a sub to Evie Weiss in the channel, in the chat here. You know, I've always played Halloween shows, and you get to, you know, wear Kiss paint or a mask or whatever. Those shows always sound so, or always feel so different. Because you get to play the mask, you get to be whatever you want. You know, you go back to Kiss, and you know, they got to be whatever they wanted. They could be, you know, superheroes for whatever. And so, I mean, I get it, man. You get up there with some paint on, you know, have a look, have an aesthetic, and it comes out differently in the music.
It does, yeah. And yeah, that was something I always did too, was Halloween shows. You dress up, and it was so much fun. It'd be, you know, you're wearing a mask or whatever, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it just brings you a different kind of power. You know, to be dressed up as something else. And I mean, there's a reason that Halloween's so fun. You know, everybody likes to do it. You know what I mean? And so you include that with music, and it feels, you know, it feels great. It can be a really powerful thing.
Well, as we kind of wind down, man, what's the, we've got the new music coming out. Should be out maybe October is what we're thinking. Will we kind of have a singles lead up to it? You know, singles every couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be more singles. We just did Kill Beautiful Things. We might release another, maybe call it a street track or something. We might release something else like that. But the album, you know, it's creeping up. It's going to be, like I said, in the middle of the tour, like around in October. So I don't know if there will be another song or not before the album. But the album, you know, isn't that far away. So
yeah, that is true. That is true. All right, man. Well, good luck out on tour, man. Joe, thanks for taking some time with us tonight. And what Dead song would you like me to end out here with? We've already played Kill Beautiful Things, so we're go back into the vault here.
Okay. Do you have Parasite on tap?
We've got the entire YouTube catalog here. So
all right, cool. Yeah. We've been practicing that one, and it feels really good. I think that one's gonna be good live for sure.
All right, man. Well, take care. Everybody loved you in the chat room, and we'll talk soon, man.
Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you. Good to see that you're well.
All right, man. You too. Take care.
Mine. what's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. You're divine. So tonight we dine. I'll suck the life from you. It's all that I do. What's yours is mine. What's yours is mine. What's yours is mine.
Hey, this is Wes Borland from Limp Bizkit, Big Dumb Face, Black Light Burns, Queen Fong, and you're listening to Talk to Me.
Fuck this. What do you want from me? Run your monopoly. I am the opposite. God forbid I could be living antithesis. Revel in this, resist. Maybe you'll get to just venomous. Standing in line is the way that you go. I will survive on the path. Sever the ties from the blind and all those ignorant bastards I am and could. You won't take me alive. I'd rather die than live in this prison. I am anti-everything. Done being kind. I draw the line. No, I will not give in. I am anti-everything. I am a pessimist. I am obsessed with it, blessed with it. Leave a mark. Show me a battle scar, ripping the rules apart. I am a war. Give me a stone and I'll cast the first blow. Cover me up in the truth that I know. Doing it now when you said that I won't. Hungry and harder and all of my own. You won't take me alive. I'd rather die than live in this prison. I am anti-everything. Done being kind. I draw the line. No, I will not.
Huge thank you to Joe Catella from Dead for coming on the podcast once again. Always great to have him on, and a great friend of the show. One of the first bands I ever interviewed at Louder Than Life the first year I was there. So Joe is always welcome on the show. Make sure you are supporting any and everything that he is doing. And until next Thursday, for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey. Have a great week.
The Talk To Me podcast, presented by KnotFest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.